Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, coming to you today with my two daughters.
Hi, Mom. Checking Hi. In, I'm the oldest, Shelly K. Baggett.
And? I'm the middle daughter.
You're the only other daughter,
yeah. Brenda.
We got two boys to go with them, but today it's just the girls.
Yay.
And so we're going to be talking about, now we're praying about an awakening. You know, we've talked to you much about it, but only the Holy Spirit can lead us. I thought it was so good what Brother Gene Wiseman brought to our prayer conference. Brother Wiseman had the Lord teach him something. And he said that John said, "Behold the Lamb," when he saw Jesus coming to be baptized. And a lamb is a creature that is defenseless. It is earthbound. And it's an animal of prey. But when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and a dove came, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and alighted on Jesus. And that which the dove is not earthbound, it's a heavenly creature. And heavens opened and the heavenly creature came and alighted on Jesus and then indwelled him. And everything he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that then that was heavenly began to lead that which was earthly. And the first place he led him to was into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But he led him all through his life. He led him to Calvary. The Holy Spirit led him there. He led him to the right hand of the Father. And then the next time we see him coming back and in the form of a dove, it's on a united prayer group. So that is earthbound, we will not go higher heavenly without the power of the Spirit. We have to follow the Holy Spirit. We cannot do without Him and His power in our meetings. And we're going to be reading to you this week a sermon I found from Sister Maria Woodworth Etter. I found it by going to the archives, Pentecostal archives, in a book, Marvels and Miracles, How to Cooperate with the Holy Spirit in a Meeting. People are afraid sometimes to cooperate with Him. Mm-hmm. But to have the kind of a meeting we just had and to have the power of God, we have to know how to do it. Now, I've asked Brenda, my daughter, to do a little research on Maria Woodworth Etter and give you some information on her.
Okay, this is from the book For Such a Time as This by Wayne Warner. And it's about Maria Woodworth Etter. And
Wayne Warner, by the way, was in charge of the archives at the Pentecostal Evangel.
And he brings the fact that her conversion was in 1857, which is actually the same year as the noontime prayer meeting.
So it was in that move.
Mm-hmm. In that Ooh. Move. Now, she didn't live in New York, but it was...
No, that move spread all over the United States.
And... She was a woman, which was her only fear into going into the ministry. Her thoughts always returned to her limited formal education and her lack of theological training. When she prayed that there would be some way that she could study the Bible and overlap the handicap, she said the Lord showed her a vision of a large open Bible and verses standing out in raised type. Then she said, Jesus repeated the call, "Go, and I will be with you." I cried, "Lord, I will go. Where shall I go?" And Jesus said, "Go here, go there, and wherever souls are perishing." I saw that I must not depend on anything that I could do, but to look to Him for strength and wisdom, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I was to be the vessel of clay God was going to use to His own glory. I was to be His mouthpiece. I must trust God to speak through me to the people the words of eternal life. Seemingly, the more Woodworth resisted the call of God on her life, the more intensely the call came. She was born, her last name was Underwood, and then she married, and her name was Woodworth. She wrote that God gave her many visions of people in need and others in hell, yet she continued to resist the call for months and even years. Finally, after the death of her fifth child in 1880, when Woodworth was about 35 years old, she settled the call upon her life, which she described as similar to the Apostle Paul's on the Damascus Road. Her call was in Damascus, Ohio. In another vision, she saw angels come into her room. They took her to the west, over prairies, lakes, forests, rivers. She saw a long, wide field of waving golden grain. Then she began to preach in the vision and saw the grain begin to fall in sheaves. similar to Ezekiel's vision. She told it often that Christ spoke to her as the grain began to fall, explaining just as the grain was falling in the vision, so would people fall as she preached. Later, when people fell prostrate in her meetings, she said that the Lord spoke to her the meaning of this earlier vision. Sister, don't you remember the vision about the grain? And this part is about the power that was in her meetings.
You know, she was so powerful. That's what was known about her. Mm-hmm. She was so powerful. The Holy Ghost was able to operate through her. And you're going to find out when we read the sermon how she knew how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost and how we've got to know how to cooperate with Him. There were miracles. There were wonders. There were singing angels. People could hear heavenly songs. People fell under the power. The power of God would be manifested 40 miles away from her meetings. And people traveled a lot by train then. For instance, that she would be coming, she would have a meeting. People would be on a train. Suddenly they'd fall prostrate. It was mainly the unbelievers that fell. They would be like sticks of wood. And the conductors of the train said, we know what this is. Sister Woodworth Edder's having a meeting here. And they would carry them on stretchers, carry them to the meeting, and then she'd pray for them, and they'd rise up and accept and know that God was God. I'm telling you, when God starts striking down the unbelievers, you're going to see some. We're going to see some of these things. And that's why we wanted to talk to you about it. Go on, Brenda, about
her
life.
I can go on, and then I wanted to talk, since Mom brought out the power, she taught a lot about the power.
Yes.
And she said that the scriptural view of a believer's body as a temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3:16, and she spoke of the power that operates the body, body of Christ.
Yes.
She says, as a great pieces of mechanism are moved by electricity, so our bodies, the most wonderful piece of mechanism ever known, are moved by the power of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 witnessed for Jesus and healed the sick with power of the Holy Spirit, and it's no different today. She says, if we haven't the power, let us confess it and ask God to give it to us, the power He gave the first disciples. And she promised the same results would follow. If those who come to the Lord will be filled as they were on the day of Pentecost, we will have streams of living water rushing through us and flowing to the very ends of the earth.
Hallelujah. Now that is exactly right, folks. We were not supposed to digress in power. We were supposed to make advances and go from glory to glory to glory. There's an enemy, and he stole things from the church, but praise God, God's brought it back. And he brought back, around the first of the 20th century, he brought back that Holy Ghost power. And through her, 1857, she was born again. And the power, she's really known for knowing how to operate in the power. Brenda, can you tell us some more about her?
Well, without formal training, after she was born again, she knew she needed divine help. She asked God. First of all, she was born in 1844, I believe, and she died in 1924. So she was before the women's suffrage and all of this.
She lived a long time.
And without formal training, she knew she needed help. She asked God for the power. He gave the Galilean fishermen to anoint her for service. I came like a child asking for bread. I looked for it, and God did not disappoint me. She testified, always quick with symbolic language. She described her experience as the power of the Holy Ghost appearing in a bright cloud. It was brighter than the sun. I was covered and wrapped up in it. My body was light as the air. It seemed that heaven came down. I was baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire and power, which has never left me.
Mm.
Oh, praise the Lord. There was liquid fire, and the angels were all around in fire and glory. She added, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ and by this power that I have stood before hundreds of thousands of men and women proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. Praise God.
Yes, and you know, we were just in St. Louis, and there we saw evidence everywhere of the St. Louis World's Fair, which was famous in 1904. She had a big, huge tent there during that meeting, and it is reported that the power of God came down on her, and the famous shot of her is with her hand raised up, one finger up toward heaven. The power of God came down on her, and she stood there for hours, even days, I think it was, and all bodily functions suspended, and people filed by to see the power of God upon her. People are going to see the power of God again. Brenda, do you have more things for us?
Well, this is the first time she preached, and I think Mom can relate to this. She could not have asked for a tougher place to launch her ministry than in the little community where she and her husband had formerly lived. There she looked out across her curious audience and recognized her husband's relatives who wondered about P.H. Woodworth's poor wife, what was she was doing in the pulpit. What a challenge. As was her custom throughout her preaching ministry, she went to the pulpit with very little preparation besides prayer. Several church groups recognized her preaching and organizing ability and approached her with attractive offers. The Friends Church wanted her to travel for a year with the minister and his wife to conduct revival meetings. The United Brethren wanted her to take charge of the Women's Missionary Society or take a circuit of churches. A group called Bible Christians wanted her to join their forces and take charge of three large churches. The Methodists offered
her
a church.
Must have been power in that sermon.
Yes. So then she had the first church that she planted was at a place called the Devil's Den. And a large, curious crowd met her there, and they expected another short-lived, unproductive revival meeting. For 3 days, she did everything she knew to break the hardened heart. She prayed, she sang, she preached, and she called for day meetings of prayer, all in effort to combat the evil influence of the area and start a revival fire. Finally, on the fourth day, some of the residents were converted, and the news quickly spread that the Devil's Den was being stirred for God. Soon, the neighborhood rang with joyous singing and praises, and the old church building could not hold the crowds who gathered to see the excitement. Hundreds milled around outside, eagerly waiting for someone inside to leave so they could come in. And she finally answers the call to go west, despite her husband only wanting her to evangelize in the Lisbon, Ohio area, and he goes with her.
Praise the Lord. Now, Brenda is getting these things this week from a book, Maria Woodworth Etter, by Wayne Warner. And Wayne Warner has written a story of her life here. I know him. He was the head of the Assemblies of God Archives. So he had all the good places to look, and he's a researcher. He knows how to find it. It's the book Maria Woodworth Etter, For Such a Time as This by Wayne Warner, Her Healing and Evangelizing Ministry. And we're offering this book for only $10 this week. You can get it from us. And we're going to give you now tomorrow, I'm going to have Shelley start reading to you the sermon that I found at Oral Roberts Pentecostal Library. And this comes from her own book, Marvels and Miracles. And this sermon is not in a book that you can buy. I just went online and got a book. Cost me, $275. So now I will have my own book of this. But at that time, I Xeroxed this sermon. And folks, we're going to have to start. The thing about it is what he saw with the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. It's only the Holy Spirit that's going to take the church onward, 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 upward. It's that heavenly dove upon us that will take us upward. So you don't want to miss tomorrow. And you can get this book from us for $10. Or you can get free, absolutely free, the sermon we're going to read, How to Cooperate with the Holy Spirit in a Meeting. Just telephone us at 1-800-972-3447. Or write Billy Brim, Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Of course, we would appreciate an offering for the radio ministry when you write. That's Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. This is Billy Brim and Shelley Baggett and Brenda Brim saying, Shalom until tomorrow.